Good morning. Welcome to Focus 580. It's our morning talk program. My name's David Inge, and we're glad to have you with us. We're also pleased to welcome back to the show the man we like to call our chef in residence. His name is Doyle Moore. And for a long time now, he's been stopping by on the first Wednesday of the month to talk about food and cooking. And we always have a good time picking some kind of topic, and then we just tell stories and we chat, and we encourage people to call in with recipes, and we always have a good time. So this time around, he says, why don't we talk about fruitcake? Now, we have, in fact, talked about fruitcake.
We talked about it a month ago.
And it's come up now and again, and I'm afraid I'm partly to blame because I'm boosting fruitcake because I think, as I said in my little promotional announcement, you know, some people like to make jokes about fruitcake, and perhaps there are people who would say, well, they just don't like it. And I would say, well, it's possible, and I know because I've done it, I think it's possible to make a fruitcake that's really good and that it's a wonderful thing. And I would have it almost any time, but it seems particularly appropriate this time of the year. So that's what we'll do here. We'll talk a little bit about fruitcake. Doyle has his own reason for thinking about this. And we have some recipes that we can offer to you. And if you have a recipe to share with us, we'd be happy to have it. You can call us. Otherwise, you can just call up and say hi or, you know, whatever's on your mind. 333-9455 is the number here in Champaign-Urbana. Toll-free 800-222-9455. Oh, I don't know. Before we get going, on another subject here, poor Doyle, I won't let him get a word in edgewise. I just want to mention that we are preparing to do another, yet another, ladies and gentlemen, live cooking show on WILL-TV. The show is going to be on in March. And the theme here that we've picked is chili soup and stew. And we're looking for recipes. And if you have a good recipe, something for chili or soup or stew, we'd like to have it. You can send it to us, and we hope that you would do that by January 2nd. So send it to Chili Soups and Stews, WILL-TV, 300 North Goodwin Avenue in Urbana. The zip is 61801. And then, as we have done in the past, there'll be a cookbook. We'll take all the recipes and we'll put them into the book, and then invite some folks to come on the show and be there with us live in the studio in March and show us how it's done. So we'd like to have some recipes.
I guess the work is cut out for us.
I guess. Well, all we have to do is stand there and look charming and have the people do the work. But I'm hoping we'll hear from some folks. And here, again, this is a good opportunity for guys because here, you know, chili soups too.
I'll say.
This is guy stuff. This is a good guy stuff. So if you have a recipe, you can share it with us. Anyway, fruitcake. So something got you thinking about fruitcake.
Something got me thinking. It was Truman Capote's story. And when I quit weeping, because it's very tender, I was fascinated by the cake that is very important to the story. And so I set about to make some, and I did. I think that the recipes are very similar. And my reason for thinking that is I poked around and found four recipes that were almost identical from the southern part of the United States. One of them was North Carolina, one was Alabama, and one was the Tampa Tribune in 1950. And all of these cakes are very similar, and you don't seem to find the recipe very far north. So I think that this one and the one that Buddy and Cousin Soup put together is exactly what I have brought for you today.
Mm-hmm.
And it is also a very favorite of Eudora Welty's. And the proportions are sometimes a little different whether you make a larger cake or a smaller cake. The quantity is different, but the proportions seem to always be the same. I think they're all related to an original recipe. It's called a white fruit cake. And strangely enough, this fruit cake doesn't have any spices in it. And so it lacks that heavy fruitcake zing, you know, mm-hmm. which may be something that people don't like if they don't like a lot of spices. But there are no spices in this. It's only vanilla and lemon extract, if you can find the lemon extract. I went to three stores before I found less. I guess they had a big run on it all of a sudden.
Lemon extract. Okay. I guess I'm not familiar with that as an ingredient, or maybe I just have never come across a recipe that asked for that.
I think it's fairly rare too, and I believe that probably it is to keep the cake lighter, mm-hmm. and not so heavy and maybe to people's taste. Also, Eudora Welty doesn't like red cherries in her cake. So I bow to Eudora on this cake. It's all green cherries.
Well, that's, I guess, part of my feeling is that I am also rebelling, and maybe I get this from my friend Alton, who had Alton Brown, who had the recipe that I really liked. He said the candied fruits, the things that we associate with being in fruitcake, that are dyed brilliant red and green. He says, don't do that. He says, don't do that.
I brought his recipe today. He calls it a free range cake, and it's all kinds of dried fruits, and they're really delicious. But he also changes the proportions of butter and flour and eggs and et cetera. Mm-hmm. So, but I found five recipes that were within the same proportion, and I liked it. And also, it's very fast. I'm surprised at how quickly you can make this cake, and how simple it is. And so, out of deference to Mr. Capote, I made my first batch of the cake with a spoon. I didn't use a mixer, and because I thought, well, I don't think that there were that many electric mixers in the time the story was being told. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. it was you cream the butter and the sugar together, and I'd remembered my mother. She never had a mixer. I sort of was recalling then what it felt like to start from scratch and start with a wooden spoon, and also how tired she got by the time that cooking was over. So therein lies the story.
So why do you think it is that fruitcake has gotten this reputation, and that there are so many people who would say they don't really, they don't care for it?
A lot of people have been trying to explain that, and they never come up with any kind of an explanation. And they all make jokes about, it's a good doorstop, and it's the one cake, and it's all passed around. Mm-hmm. Obviously, they never ate it, and it never was a part of the gentility of the season. To have a little slice of a very nice, rich cake. The cake is very, 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 very old, because originally cakes made by the Egyptians and the Romans, which gets back there quite a ways, was a lot of dried fruit and then something to hold it together. And then you sort of ate this mass of dried fruit that stuck together. And there may be I don't see how you can not like that, but there may be a feeling about this really isn't a fluffy white coconut cake, this is something else, and only comes out this time of the year. I used to several years ago, I would make these in November, and then I would put most of them in the freezer and freeze them until the next Christmas. But I'm sorry, the one that we're looking at to eat today is only about 5 days old. And you know what? I think it's just as good as if it sat around and there's enough bourbon on it that you'll like it anyway.
Well, that's, I guess, my feeling about this one that I like so much and that I had made is that, and maybe what people are reacting to is this idea that you make it, but then you have to let it sit
and ripen.
Ripen. And the thing about this that I like is I think it's pretty good right out of the oven. And if you don't want to go through that business of putting bourbon or brandy or whatever on there, well, just eat it like it is. It's perfectly it's perfectly fine.
It's a piece of cake.
Yeah, exactly. It's a piece of cake. And otherwise, it, you know, I think what I've done and what I've made it is indeed have sprinkled on a little bit of brandy and done that for a couple days. And so that gets a chance to soak in there and you get some of that flavor.
And it mellows.
But you don't need to have it sit there for a month before you can eat it. It's pretty much ready to go.
But also, if you do wrap the cake, you don't have to put it in the refrigerator or the freezer. It will stay outside of the refrigerator for a long period of time.
And that is that because we're basting it in alcohol?
Well, I think that does have a lot to do with
that's
it.
That's partly a
preservative
thing. That was why it is they did that. They put the alcohol
now,
in
Sue
it.
Now, Sue and Buddy put whiskey into the cake. And let's see. I think that Eudora's recipe also puts a bourbon into the cake mix itself, and then you add more to it if it's dry, then baste it with that. A lot of people use a red wine and sherry. Uh-huh. So there's a lot of different things that are done that keep the cake moist, and it does want to be kind of a moist cake.
Yeah. All right. We have a caller.
Oh,
We'd welcome others. The numbers, same numbers as always, 333-9455 here in Champaign-Urbana. We do also have a toll-free line, and that is good anywhere that you can hear us. That's 800-222-9455. Doyle Moore is here. It's first Wednesday of the month, and for a long time he's been with us to talk about cooking, and we always have a good time. And this time around he said, well, we're coming up to a holiday. Some people, for their part of their tradition, it's making this particular kind of cake or having this particular kind of cake. And so we're talking about fruitcake. We have someone here to talk with us. And line one, hello.
Yes, good morning, gentlemen. Mm-hmm. David, you've taken on the toughest of political issues in our current environment. And Doyle, you've done zucchini in season, but today, bravery beyond measure, gentlemen. Bravery beyond measure. Thank you. A lot of holiday memories for me about fruitcake and mostly about my now dearly departed mother. And what she would do is probably bake the fruitcake, about now, and then take either several layers of cheesecloth or perhaps just a nice clean towel.
Yes.
And she would soak that in some kind of an inebriant, I assume a sangria or a red wine. And then delicately lay it on top of the fruitcake as it sort of mothered in the extra fridge out on the porch, you know. And so it just sort of gently seeped into that first half inch or so of the cake as it sat there for a couple of weeks. And I'll ring off before I put spittle on myself.
Well, thanks for the story. Well, we appreciate that. And that's sort of I'm sure for a lot of people, it will be something that they really associate with their family, with this time of year. Maybe indeed their mom or their grandmother or somebody made it. And perhaps the ritual of it, that you make it, but you can't have it right then. You have to let it mature, and you take care of it, and you baby it, and you baste it, and it gets better and better and better, and it ripens, and it soaks in your whatever it is that you put on there, and then the time comes when it's ready. And maybe that part of the thing is the anticipation of it, waiting for it to be ready to go.
Then the next step is you don't eat large quantities of it. You may eat it often, like even every day, which would be a pleasantry, in the afternoon with a cup of tea, or in the morning with a cup of coffee. I had mine this morning. I had to taste this to see if it was any good.
Oh, of course. You wouldn't want to bring something
that was not good. I had to make sure it was tasted. So I had it this morning, and I thought, what a nice thing just to have this one little piece of cake. It's narrow and thin and awfully tasty, and to enjoy that. And so then the cake is going to lie around for a long time, and we aren't people to let things lay around. Mm-hmm. But this cake must. And then you pack it back up and wait until the next day or whatever it is. And you only have very small amounts. So it becomes kind of a special treat, I think.
And if people would like to have the recipe, we will have the recipe.
I've got lots of recipes on our website.
And otherwise, we can send them out. We have a volunteer who's been really kind to put in a lot of time. And I think that we're pretty much caught up. One thing that I do want to mention, we're in the transition between a couple of versions of our website. And generally now the address we're giving is will.illinois.edu. And I don't think that the recipe links are on that one. But the old one is still up. So I know some people find this confusing. But if you go to will.uiuc.edu, that's still there. And the links, the recipe links are there. So you can get them there. Otherwise, if you drop us a line, we can try to send out the recipes. And if you're interested in the one that I like, the Alton Brown recipe, that you can get by going to the website of the TV Food Network. And if you have internet access, just go to TV Food Network, and he calls it his free-range fruitcake. And that recipe is so you can go right there and get that recipe, and I think that it's really good. If I can manage to get myself together. This year, I'm gonna make some this year, and I certainly have enjoyed it, and I'm sure people have gotten tired of me talking about how good I thought it is. But
I don't think it's really so. Good. A lot of people have asked. People referred to when we mentioned fruitcakes last month. I got several responses to people. Oh, why don't you talk about fruitcake? And I don't like to be predictable. Like, well, it's December, we have to talk about fruitcake. But it had been a couple of years, and I thought, oh, besides, it was so good.
Well, we have some other folks here to talk with. And the next is in Urbana in line one. Hello.
Good morning. Mm-hmm. I just wanted to relate a story about my mom's fruitcake.
Oh, good.
She had a recipe that was her wedding fruitcake in Ireland. And she kept it, and she brought it when we emigrated here to the United States. And she would bake it at Christmas time, not only for our Christmas dinner, but to give to friends as presents.
Yes.
And so then when my sister and I got married, she pulled out this recipe and said, I have to bake this for your wedding.
Oh, yes. It's the top layer. The top
right.
layer, which generally the bride and groom take the top layer and take it off and have it on their first anniversary, which allows it to be even a little bit longer in ripening. But that's very much a tradition to have the fruitcake layer on the top, yes.
And generally, now she didn't do this every year, but you can put almond paste.
Yes.
And then royal icing on top of it.
And that seals it all in. Yes.
Right. It keeps it fresh.
Oh, you have a rare experience there.
Oh, yes. Well, the thing is that then at Christmas time, if she was in a rush, she would use a buttercream icing instead and skip the almond paste.
Oh, yes. Uh-huh.
But she gave me the recipe. I asked her for it. Then I said, can I have your recipe, Mom? And so I started baking it every year at Christmas.
Oh, good.
And I send it to family and friends that enjoy the experience.
Uh-huh.
I think there's nothing as good as a piece of fruitcake with a great big steaming hot cup of tea.
Well, that's what I – and you know, it's the enjoyment of that that keeps you wanting to make that recipe.
Oh, yes.
Do you have that recipe at hand?
Yes, I do.
Well, let's hear it.
Well, basically, the fruitcake is what I call a white fruitcake.
Yes.
Recipe, if you know what I'm talking
yes,
about.
Yes, I do.
And it uses more raisins, golden and dark raisins, than any other.
Fruit. Yes.
Okay, so it gives it a distinctly different flavor. Plus, people that don't like mixed peel will like this fruitcake. You know, like you'll have some friends where you say, would you like to try some? And they go, oh, I don't like fruitcake. And you go, well, try this. It's not the kind of fruitcake you've had before. And then ultimately they go, oh, that's pretty good. Then you use some mixed peel.
Yes.
You use chopped dates.
Oh, and dates, yes.
Yes. You use slivered almonds, but you also use ground almonds in the batter.
Oh.
Yes, and that gives it a really nice almond flavor. You soak the fruit, like, overnight in whiskey or rum to plump it up.
Right.
And you also add whiskey or rum to the batter.
Right.
It uses a pound of butter, a dozen eggs.
Okay, let's see. One
sugar. It makes a big amount. It makes pounds of fruitcake.
Yes, a pound of butter and
5 cups flour.
And five cups of flour, yes.
Right. And then you add your spices, and I sometimes play around with that. You know, your cinnamon, your nutmeg, your allspice, your cloves, your ginger.
Mm-hmm.
And then you add the juice of one lemon and the rind of a lemon, and that's basically it. You know, you cream your butter and sugar.
You cream the butter and sugar together. Then you mix the flour.
Do you?
Since your fruit is moist, do you coat some of that with some of the flour?
Yes. There's there's more than enough flour to make your batter. So
yes.
I take about a cup and a half or whatever it is after I've got the batter made that looks like it's the right texture.
Yes.
I throw that in on top of the mixed fruit and stir it all around.
And then that they keep saying that keeps the fruit from falling to the bottom.
That
I guess it does. Mine doesn't fall to the bottom, and I do exactly that, yes.
But what I've taken to doing is rather than making big fruit cakes where you're eating on them for a long time, is I've gotten little mini loaf pans and
yes.
little baby buntlet pans.
Yes.
And use even little cupcake pans.
Oh, that's interesting. I wouldn't have thought that small, but that I guess that would.
Oh, people like that. Like if you're going to give some candy or fruit or fudge that you've made homemade in little small cups.
Oh yes.
Give them little mini fruit cakes too. It's kind of a nice treat. It's a mouthful of surprise. And so then that you can then marinate the fruit cake with alcohol after that, but I tend to just do that rather lightly.
Now, what temperature do you use for the cake to bake?
I usually use about 300.
300,
yes. You also put into the oven if you've got, a pan that's not too tall. I use moist heat in the oven. I put a pan of water in to bake it.
Plus water, yes.
Mm-hmm. And that keeps it moist.
And how long do you bake this?
Oh, well, depending on the size of the pan.
Yes, it is.
The little miniature ones and the baby buntlets and the little miniature loaf pans take anywhere from 40 minutes or so.
Oh.
And half hour to 40 minutes.
Yeah.
And then if you make a great big, cake size one, it can take up to 2 hours.
2 hours, yes. All
right. I base it on how it smells that it's done.
That's good. That's very good. Well, that's a wonderful recipe. And yes, that is the white fruit cake. That is very good. Very good.
All right.
All right. Well, thanks very much.
You're welcome.
We are at our midpoint already of this hour of Focus 580 with this guy that we call our chef in residence, Doyle Moore. For a long time, he's been stopping by on the first Wednesday of the month, and we talk about cooking and pick some topic and exchange stories and recipes. And it's always fun when he is here. Well, this time around, he said, he'd been kind of thinking about fruitcake. And he said, let's do that and get all the people out of the closet, all the people who say, yeah, well, actually, I like fruitcake. It's good. And I have a recipe to share. And if you have a recipe to share, that'd be great. 333-9455, toll free, 800-222-9455. And we will next talk with someone in Olney. Line number two. Hello.
Yes. I'm so glad the last caller came because somewhere in my memory I have a white fruitcake that I never knew the ingredients in, and I hope you'll get that in a mailing that you're going to put out.
I'm going to also give you my white fruitcake recipe.
Okay, I'll turn my sheet over. I missed the sugar on this thing, but anyway, I'm not tackling that big a thing without a recipe in front of me.
Right.
But, yes, you're going to give us yours. And I also, many years ago, somehow on a box or something, I had the dry mince thing, whoever makes that, I reconstituted that. Then I added graham crackers and the fruit, and I don't think I had to bake it, and I can't find that anymore.
That's interesting. So you had some crackers and mincemeat.
Well, you crushed your graham crackers.
Graham crackers, yeah.
And reconstituted or took that out of a jar, the mincemeat.
Yes, non-such.
Right.
Yes.
That's it. I think I have one in the freezer still, and I can't find the recipe. And then
I've never heard of that.
And I have called the company, but I can't get a response. They don't do this anymore, I guess. But I just thought maybe somebody had heard of this. I just think you do not bake it. You just stir everything together and let it absorb all of the moisture.
Because the graham crackers are already baked,
right?
And they're moistened a little bit, and then the mincemeat is going to be moist. I'll look. I wonder what might be called. I can't think of it, except it sounds awfully good because it almost becomes a kind of a little little truffle. If you're not going to bake it, you know, you have this sort of rolled up, maybe even rolled in coconut afterwards.
Mm, that sounds good.
It would be like a truffle. And that was very popular in the 30s, I remember. In fact, we made something like that for one of my aunts who couldn't eat something, and she wanted all of these fruits mm-hmm. ground up and rolled into little balls with stuff around it. And we made that for her. And so I know that somewhere there's a recipe. You're right.
Oh, I hope you find it.
Oh, I'm going to make a note of that and hunt that up, yes.
How do I get on a mailing list? I don't do emails.
Well, if you drop us a line, postcard, letter, what have you, and just give us your name and address, and it might take a little time. I'm not sure how quick we can get these transcribed and turned around. But if you'll drop us a line, we can send you copies.
I need your address.
Oh, all right. Well, we're WILL Radio, and we're at 300 North Goodwin. And that's Campbell Hall is the name of our building, mm-hmm. 300 North Goodwin Avenue, and we're in Urbana.
Urbana, and your zip?
And the zip is 61801.
61801, and I just asked for a recipe.
Yes.
Yeah, say specifically it was from the December show or that was for fruitcake, or just so we'll know what it is that you're looking for.
Oh, I missed most of the program or up to the point where you were relating soaking everything and grinding everything, and so I'm going to hang on for the rest of the show.
Okay, good. Wonderful. Thank you
thank
very
you so much.
Much.
All right, thank you. Bye-bye. Well, let's continue, and we'll go next to somebody who is in Sydney, line 3. Hello.
Hi, how are you this morning?
I'm good, thanks.
I have a story and a question, I guess. The caller before talked about her mother's recipe that she made for weddings and the top layer of the wedding cake.
Yes.
My parents did that, apparently, and took away the cake to eat on the honeymoon.
Right.
But my mother carried in the car glove box for years a little piece of that cake.
Oh.
With the frosting and everything. And every once in a while, I'd pull it out just to look at it. Yellow. The frosting was yellowed, but they carried that fruitcake everywhere.
maybe that's the one fruitcake that traveled around the world.
Traveled a lot, yeah.
Well, that is very much a part of that tradition to have the fruitcake, which lasts, to be carried away by the bride and groom, yes.
It was a rock. The other thing was that you were talking about your white fruitcake from
yes.
the South.
Yes.
I had a fruitcake recipe one time when I was living in North Carolina. I don't know where maybe I pulled it out of the newspaper. I tried it one time, and I'm one who doesn't like fruitcake. But I tried that and loved it. And I don't know, I can't even remember now if it was a light one or a dark one.
Now, about what time was this that you did that?
The mid-60s.
Mid-60s.
Yeah.
Because my recipe comes from the Tampa Tribune of 1950. So I'll bet you it's about the same one.
It might be similar. I'm definitely going to try.
Well,
it anyway.
This is a very easy one to do. I'll give the recipe a little bit later.
Okay.
When we slow down here.
Paper and pencil, right handy.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Good program.
And let's see. We'll talk next with somebody in Urbana, line number 1. Hello.
Hi. Outside of the rest of the talk that you just had with the gentleman a couple of callers ago about the mincemeat and that sort of thing,
yes.
I'm just wondering if I'm allergic to eggs and to nuts.
Oh.
And what kind of options there might be for a holiday treat.
Eggs and nuts. Nuts you can get by with, but eggs are going to be difficult because eggs are very important in this kind of cake because there's no other moisture.
Okay.
And so eggs, let's see. Do you try egg substitute?
Well, I'm allergic to both. Most of those egg substitutes have albumin in them.
Yes.
With the exception of the powdered egg replacer.
Now, there is a yes, there is a powdered one, too.
Yeah, I bought that at Strawberry Fields.
Uh-huh.
And it works well if you're going to be binding meatballs, you know, or meatloaf or something like that. But I've never tried baking with it.
Well, my feeling is, my gut feeling is it have the same properties, because what it does is it becomes a binder. I can't think of a real substitute. I mean, other liquids would not really cause it to work,
right.
Because it's the cooking of the egg when you do that. But, oh, dear. That's you might – oh, no, I was going to say you might use a powdered milk. That might be binding, but
– as a – with the powdered – with a egg substitute?
With the egg substitute and a little water, yeah.
Okay, because the egg replacer product you mix with water, a certain amount of that.
Yes.
Plus a certain amount of water. And maybe I'll just try it with baking. I never have.
Well, give that a try.
Okay.
All right, thanks.
I like the idea.
Okay,
well, I was just going to tell you, too, that I'm sitting here in front of my computer, and just into the browser, I put in baking without eggs, and I got a whole bunch of hits, and I don't know how useful that could be. But
okay, well, I'll check that out.
See if that way I think a lot of these recipes, or some of them at least that I'm looking at, do use egg replacer, and I'm not sure whether that's something that you could –
you can buy that locally.
But, you know, you might try that and see what you might find. You might be surprised that you could find some things that you would like and that would work.
Okay.
All right. Well, thanks. Good luck with that. Okay.
Bye-bye.
Let us continue. And our next caller would be Bourbon Ace, line number 4.
Hello?
Hello. Yes.
Yeah. I was listening to your show, and I remembered my mother making a graham cracker fruitcake, and it tasted buttery, and it sort of like melted in your mouth.
Wow!
But I looked through her recipes. I couldn't find it. Never. So I just wonder if you had any recipes like that.
No. But this sounds very much like the person who asked about the cookie crust and the mincemeat.
Oh, okay.
And I'm going to search that out somehow. I like that. But the idea of this cake that you're describing would have been baked, though, wouldn't it?
I really don't remember. You know, I was pretty young.
Yeah.
All I remember my mom saying, "This is special for Dad."
Oh.
He liked fruitcake. He liked mincemeat pie. You know, he liked the things that were a little different.
I bet you've touched on two of the same recipes from about the same time.
Well, she was raised in the Depression area.
Yes, and that is interesting. Yeah, because there were a lot of I don't want to say ersatz, but they were things that were made like an apple pie made out of Ritz crackers.
Oh, yeah.
And then grinding up other things and doing it in different ways.
They didn't have much choice.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
Oh, that's good. I'm going to look that up. That's good. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Right, thank you. Well, again, here I'm at my computer, and into the browser I put graham cracker fruitcake. And I got a whole bunch of hits. So, again, if people have internet access, or if you don't, you know, go down to the public library, or you know somebody who has internet, just try that. Do that as a search, graham cracker fruitcake, and I'm sure that you could find some things.
Good.
Okay, well, and we keep going here. And our next caller would be line number 2, and this is somebody in Champaign. Hello.
Hi.
Mm-hmm.
I just had a fruitcake memory as well. This is a great show.
Wonderful.
It is similar to the woman whose mother was from Ireland. My mm-hmm. mom used to make it was English, but, you know, I suppose there's some overlap there.
Yes, indeed.
And it was this really nice, rich, moist batter, and she would bake it, and then it would go and live in the walk-in pantry for a few weeks, and she would douse it periodically with I don't remember what, but
probably yeah. Sherry.
Maybe, yeah. It was definitely an alcoholic thing, and then put a pastry cloth over it, and while it would sit, and then it would get this wonderful thick layer of marzipan, and then the royal icing.
Yes, that's exactly it.
Yeah, and that was really, you know, it's kind of crunchy and very hard on the outside, and that keeps it moist, I guess.
But yes,
then,
it does.
But then the underneath the crunchy hard part, the icing itself is almost like candy, soft candy, and then there's the marzipan, and I don't remember the cake having any kind of sort of neon, you know, fruit thing. Blink at you.
This is just an intuitive flash. There, the English make a siminal cake, S-I-M-I-N-A-L, at this holiday season.
Uh-huh.
And I was wondering if it might not even be that, since it doesn't have all of the glazed fruits and everything.
Well, it had things in it, but I just don't remember.
Well, they'd be currants and
raisins,
sultanas.
Yeah, sultana, and there may even have been fruits, but they just weren't, you know,
important.
Flashing at you.
That's good. You and Eudora Welty. She didn't like red cherries in her cake, so she only did green.
Still not fond of those kind of colored glaceade fruits in fruit cake. I prefer that whatever was in this one, but we all loved it. We just loved it. And you know, I just don't see it very much.
No, that's good.
But it was nice to hear that. I'm glad there are other people out there who know about that cake. So.
Well, I am too. You see, there were a lot of people who said, well, talk about the fruit cakes. Well, we've got a lot of responses this morning. So,
yeah.
So well, I know we're happy.
Well, and there's the one my grandmother used to send on the other side of the family, she would send us, and that seems to me to be more like maybe the kind people aren't so wild about and that sort of makes jokes made about them. And this one, I remember, was long and narrow. It was sort of like a Cracker Barrel shape, you know, Cracker Barrel cheese.
Oh, yes,
cheese shape.
Yes.
And it was really sort of sticky and frighteningly sweet, and it did have all kinds of bright colored fruit that just jumped at you.
That sounds like that Caxton bar, which is I think comes from Georgia.
Oh, maybe it was. Yeah,
because you're describing exactly what I can see in my mind. Yes, like about a little bit bigger than a quarter of a pound of butter, but.
Yeah.
About three times as long and square and very, very moist.
Yeah, it wasn't sticky and
yeah,
incredibly
I think that that...
sweet. And it just, I mean, it just wasn't particularly interesting or we didn't really like that.
Well,
one so much.
Wait till you get my recipe. It'll be interesting and you can make it and it's very easy.
Okay.
Thank you.
Well, thanks a lot.
Thank you very much. Yeah, maybe that's the answer to my earlier question about why is some people say that they don't like fruitcake, because that's what they've had, something that was very sticky, way too sweet. Maybe they didn't go for that candied Day-Glo candied fruit. I don't know,
yep.
Whatever it was, they'd say, well, that's been their experience of fruitcake, and say, no, I don't like it.
You could be right. It's aesthetic. Yeah.
It could be. I'm still saying, hey, you know, if you try one of these recipes, make it for yourself, and I think that you would enjoy it. All right, let's go to the next caller, and that would be someone in Urbana. Line number three. Hello.
Hi, good morning.
Hi.
I have a request for people who don't like mixed peel, which is to try making their own. And that's something that my mom has been doing for a while.
Oh, yes.
And the other thing that's nice is you can control the citrus that's in it. So you can put kumquats and pomelos and grapefruits in it if you like those flavors.
Yeah.
And it's quite easy to do. So that's something I think people are missing out on. And also to the gentleman who's looking for egg replacer, I've been using applesauce and banana for my vegan friends.
Oh, yeah.
I find with the applesauce, if I buy store-bought applesauce, I need to reduce it a little bit just so it's thicker. And then I increase my leavening by about 2-2.5 times, and that should take care of it and still give you a nice moist cake that then also has a leavening property to the eggs.
That's true. And also it'll be moist. It'll stay moist. Yeah, with the fruit puree. Yeah, that's good. Thank you.
Thanks. Interesting show.
Right,
good.
Well, thank you. And we'll talk next with someone in Georgetown, line number one. Hello.
Hello. I was listening, and but I wasn't concentrating too much on the lady that talked about the graham crackers in the cake. But I'm a recipe collector, and so I looked through all my cake recipes, and I found one that has a cup of graham cracker crumbs in it. Now, I've never made it, so I can't tell you anything about it. It has a cup of orange juice in it and grated orange rind and nuts, and it's baked. So it's not really like a fruitcake. They do put it in a Bundt cake pan or, I think, an Angel Food cake pan. And I would be willing to send that a copy of that if you'd like to have that. I said you might be interested in looking at cakes that have
crackers in them. Oh, yes, indeed. Yes, send that to us here.
Okay, because it is baked. And I thought hers was maybe more like a fruitcake, and this doesn't really have the fruit in it. But they pour a glaze over it, and the glaze is made by heating brown sugar, butter, and milk.
Oh, uh-huh.
And then you remove that from the heat, and you add some powdered sugar, and then you put a glaze over the top of it.
That sounds good. A graham cracker?
And it's called Nutty Graham Cake.
Oh, all right. Nutty?
Nutty Graham Cake.
Graham Cake.
And it's got whole wheat. It says whole wheat flour can be used if you want to, 2 cups of flour and a cup of graham cracker crumbs.
Oh, that's interesting. That would have come from graham crackers, which is 19th century, and from Dr. Graham,
mm-hmm.
because he thought it was
a health food.
A health food.
Oh, really? Okay.
And so then we grind it up. That's very good. Thank you very much.
Okay, I will put a copy in and just send it to you, and if you want to add it to your recipes, well, you can. Well,
good. Thank you very much.
All right. And you are going to put that white fruit cake that
as soon as we slow down here. Well, we're going to run out of time.
How
I'm going to get. I'm going to give that, and it will be. It's the best white fruit cake on earth.
Okay.
That's its name.
Are you going to put the one that the lady called in, and I got some of the ingredients, but I didn't get all of them. Do you have all those ingredients of hers, too? Or
well,
no?
It's very similar to what I'm going to give.
Okay.
And I think what should happen is that at some point, as I said, we have a volunteer who transcribes the recipes. So she actually sits and listens again to the show and types them out, and those will get on the website. The thing is, I can't tell you exactly how
soon.
how soon that will happen. Eventually that will get on.
All right.
That will get on there.
I'll keep checking.
All right.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Bye.
And I guess I do want to mention here, for people who are curious, I'd say I've been noodling around here, and I put into my web browser, I put in graham cracker fruitcake and came up with a number of hits, including one here that's for a no-bake fruitcake.
Mm.
That's what they call it. That uses graham crackers. And basically what it is, it's graham cracker crumbs. It has some candied fruit, some raisins, dates, nuts. It has miniature marshmallows in it, and it has a can of sweetened condensed milk. And what they just have you do is just combine everything and pack it into a loaf pan and chill it for a couple of days. And
it would ripen.
And there it is.
It would be exactly what it is. Oh, yeah, it is kind of like a little truffle of some sort.
Yeah.
That's good.
And I don't know how, I don't know, maybe if you didn't really want to put in the little marshmallows, you probably could leave those out and it probably would work just fine. I don't know how you'd feel about that.
99% of my friends would say forget the marshmallows.
I would think so, yes. Maybe, I don't know, maybe if you really wanted to, you could put in, I don't know, chocolate chips.
Oh, that would be good in there. Yes.
Yeah.
Chocolate chips.
You could do that.
And coconut.
And it also doesn't have any nuts in it. But I suppose if you like that, you could put nuts in it. I think probably you could kind of fiddle around with it however you want it.
A little confection.
Yeah.
That's good.
All right. Let's get one more person here at least. And I think that would be Urbana, line number 2. Hello.
Hello, I did the same thing as you and found the no-bake graham cracker mincemeat recipe online.
Oh, yes.
And they recommend melting the marshmallows and then folding in the graham crackers.
Oh, yeah, that'd be nice and sticky.
Probably to add some sugar and probably to add some stickiness.
Just
some
to help it stick
some
together.
Binding, yeah, binding.
Right.
Like you can do with Rice Krispies.
Right, and this one adds raisins and nuts and maraschino cherries and the milk. So it's a real similar recipe.
Mm-hmm.
So there you have it.
Okay. That is it. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Well, I want to make sure before we end up out of time here, do you want to run down your recipe?
My recipe is very simple, very fast, and very straightforward, and is repeated many times, as I say, in what is called a white fruit cake. A half a pound of butter and a cup of sugar, and I chose brown sugar. And you cream the half pound of butter, which I put into the microwave for 15 seconds, and it's just perfect, with a cup of sugar. And then you beat in five large eggs, one at a time. Then you make a mixture of 1 3/4 of a cup of flour and some baking powder, a half a teaspoon of baking powder. I'm using baking powder without sodium right now, so I need a full teaspoon. But regular baking powder, only a half a teaspoon. Then you mix those two things together and put that into the liquid. And then meanwhile, you have taken 3/4 pound of glaciered cherries and pineapple. And Suk asked for Hawaiian, and the guy said, "Do you really mean Hawaiian?" She says, "I think it gives it an exotic flavor." That's when I decided it's got to be Hawaiian pineapple. So 3/4 pound of glaciered cherries and 3/4 pound of pineapple, and then 4 cups of pecans.
Man, that's a lot of nuts.
That is well, give it a try. There it is. And then a half ounce of vanilla and a half ounce of lemon extract. Now, that's all that goes into it, and in that order. You cream the butter and the sugar, put in the eggs, put in the flour, put in the fruit that you have indeed taken a little bit of the flour and fluffed around into the fruit, and then the vanilla and lemon, and then it's at 250 degrees, which is very low, for in the small pans, 2.5 hours, and it's done.
Mm.
That's very, very fast, very simple. Mm. That's the best white fruit cake on earth, according to Mrs. Harvey in the Tampa Tribune, 1950. And I've also found it in 3 other places. I found it in White Trash Cooking and in another Alabama cookbook. And also, it's very much like Dora Welty's, except she separates the eggs and beats one set of eggs and beats one set of egg whites, so it's a little more fluffy at the end. Mm. But I think that is pretty much a Southern traditional fruit cake.
Well, it's very good, and it's certainly very nutty. It's chock full of nuts.
I sure. Couldn't believe it. 4 cups of nuts, and I only made 4 cakes. That's a lot of nuts.
That's very good. That is good. I think that people like that. It is a little on the dry side, but maybe that's okay. I mean, it really feels like you're eating
a little piece of cake.
A little piece of cake. Well, it's very good. Well, again, you know, folks. We as soon as we possibly can, we'll get the recipes on our website so you can see them there. If you don't have internet, you drop us a line. We'll as soon as we can. Again, we can have the recipes made up and we can send them out to you. I don't know that we can guarantee you that you can. We can get them to you quickly enough so that you could do this by the end of the year. But my feeling is,
you do it anyway.
Do it do it for Valentine's Day. I don't know. Do it as long as it's okay to turn on the oven. I think it's okay to be making fruitcake. That's my thing. Somebody wants to call real quick. We can get him in here. 333-9455, toll free 800-222.
Now, I brought another recipe, which is very rare. I have made it, and it's very exotic, and it's made in a very large cake pan, a big circular cake pan. And I'll leave the recipe here, but you can remember it's called a Jamaican black cake. And it's very rich, and it's very dark and very dense, and is a little more involved. But the whole recipe is here, the Jamaican black cake. It's a very hard recipe to find. It came from Gourmet about 15 years ago. This is when I first made it.
We'll try and get one more caller at least. This is Champagne in line one. Hello.
Hi. Unfortunately, I can't find my recipe, but I lived in Germany for most of the 70s, and I learned how to make Christstollen.
Christstollen. Yes.
I can't find it in my recipe box just now, but if I find it, I'll send it in. It's kind of like a white fruit cake.
Yes.
You know, it uses flour, and a colleague came over and helped me make it, and we made it right on the table, not in a bowl. I was...
Oh, my.
Yeah, it was really shocking. And it makes, I think it makes at least 2 big loaves. You bake it on a cookie sheet.
Yes.
Shape it into a loaf. And I think the only liquid is the eggs and the, oh, you use some suet, I think.
Oh, yes.
And you, so you could probably substitute, because I'm more or less vegetarian now and I wasn't then, so you could probably substitute margarine. And you shape it into those loaves that are oval, and then you press down the center of it so it's got kind of a dent along the what would be the ridge. It's
yes.
Jelly instead.
Yes.
And it uses, I think it uses cardamom as one of the spices.
Which yes, it probably would be.
One that you usually use. And you use raisins and currants and candied fruits. The eggs, the flour, sugar, but I'll have to look and see if I can find that because that is sort of a fruitcake.
A holiday bread, yes.
Well, it's, yeah. I mean, they would call it a cake.
A cake, yes.
They call Irish soda bread cake, for instance.
Well, yes.
They have a much wider word field for Kuchen. Than we do.
Oh, that's good. That's very good. I like the idea of this cake. And with the cardamom, that's an awfully good flavor. It's very Scandinavian.
Okay. Well, there are a lot of similarities there.
Yes, indeed.
All right.
Thank you very much.
And I want to say thanks, too, and I must jump in here just because we're here at the end of the time. Real quick before we go, again, remember that we're going to do another cooking show on WILL-TV in March. The theme, chili soup and stew recipe. So we're looking for recipes. If you have one, send it to us by January 2nd. Chili Soups and Stews, WILL-TV, 300 North Goodwin, in Urbana, and 61801. And we'll put together a book, and we'll do another show, and we'll invite some people on, and that'll be in March.
Well, I have to go get my recipe.
All right. Thank you very much.
You bet.
The man we call our chef in residence, Doyle Moore.